This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Carrie Goldberg. In September of 2004, the body of a woman named Julaine Jules was recovered from the Charles River. The police suspected her one-time boyfriend, Shabazz Augustine, of killing her, and they later obtained call logs from his cell phone that showed where he'd been over a two-week period.
Augustine was arrested in 2011 and charged with Jules' murder. It was not an entirely unusual murder case, but it has led to a landmark decision from the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court just yesterday. The SJC ruled that from now on, in most cases, law enforcement will need a search warrant before obtaining a cell phone's location record.
This ruling is a victory for privacy advocates who represented the defendant in this Supreme Judicial Court case. Jessie Rossman is one of them. She's a staff attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts, and she joins us now. Jessie, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having us on.
So explain to us, first of all, before we get to the arguments in this case, what does this decision mean for me and the millions of other cell phone users in Massachusetts in terms of the privacy of our cell phone records going forward?
So as you said, this really is an enormous victory for everyone in Massachusetts who cares about privacy. The SJC found that there's a constitutionally protected interest in the location data that's automatically generated when we use our phones to make calls or receive calls, or simply when it's identifying a tower that's in the area. And as a result, any time the police want to get those information, they're going to now have to get a search warrant. Mm-hmm.
Now, just to clarify, this is information saying what cell tower was being used to transmit our call, not GPS data that says exactly where we were.
That's right. Mm-hmm. GPS data is a different mechanism on your phone. What cell phones do, however, is they recognize towers in order to make and receive phone calls, and that can create a map of your location. And
Sure. That's
what this case was talking about.
Got it. And the ruling found that 2 weeks was too long for the police to check our records without a warrant. But do we have any idea how brief a period they can check our records without a warrant?
So the court left open the possibility that there may be a very brief period of time under which police officers may be able to obtain the information without a search warrant. But what they made clear was that 2 weeks was far too long to obtain that information without going to a judge and establishing probable cause.
Okay. So now let's get to the reasoning in this case. What was your central argument and what was the court's reasoning when it ruled?
Sure. So our central argument and what the court put forward was that we have a constitutionally protected interest in our location, and that
under the Massachusetts Constitution.
Yes,
right?
That's mm-hmm. a good point. This case was decided under the Massachusetts Declaration of Rights, which mm-hmm. is our state constitution. Mm-hmm. We have a constitutionally protected right in that location information, and that even if those records are being held by a third party, that privacy interest remains, and it needs to be protected by a warrant, which is the gold standard for protecting privacy rights under our Constitution.
Got it. Now, we cannot discuss a topic like this without mentioning the name Edward Snowden and recalling the NSA imbroglio that has been going on for months. What does this case mean? How does it fit into that whole big thing that's going on at the federal level?
So while this case was decided under state law, the reasoning that the court used here really undercuts the exact same arguments that the federal government has been making with respect to NSA surveillance. What the NSA has said is that it has access to these records because it's being held by a third party. And so you don't have a privacy interest in that information anymore. And what the SJC said here today is that's simply not true. You retain a privacy interest in your location data and how you're using these services, even when a third party is holding on to it.
Interesting. And part of the problem in all of this is that the laws that we're basing our behavior on now are much, much, much older than the technology that we're using, right?
That's right. Uh-huh. It's almost like we're using the Doogie Howser equivalent of privacy law here. ECPA, which is the federal law, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, was passed in 1986.
Wow. And what did computers look like? They were huge rooms full of...
They were. I mean, the Apple II was the model that people were using at that time. And so I think that creates a really good visual about why these laws just don't fit the world we're living in today.
Yeah, and why we so badly need new laws in order to figure out what what's correct to do now.
Right? That's right. And there is a push right now in the Massachusetts legislature. The ACLU is supporting several bills that would change the policies that are being applied in the legislature as well.
Interesting. Now, we have to say there were two judges who dissented on this ruling. Let me hit you with a couple of their arguments.
Sure.
Okay, so one of them is this interesting scenario that let's say that the police receive information that a certain gang was involved in a recent killing. Before this ruling, they could have just pulled the cell phone location records on all the members of this gang, the known members, and they could have figured out who might have been at the place of the killing at the right time. But now they're going to have to meet a higher bar. They're going to have to get a warrant in order to check on specific members. So arguably, this ruling could hamper law enforcement. How do you respond to that?
So what we're really in favor of, I think we all are, is effective and efficient policing. And simply using a dragnet search of all of the potential information that may be relevant to an investigation isn't effective targeted policing. And quite honestly, it would be easier for police officers to get information if there was no Fourth Amendment. But that's not the decision that we made. What our founders decided was we needed to have a balancing act between our privacy interests and policing. And that's what the Fourth Amendment does. It's not an undue burden for police officers to get a warrant, as they routinely do, to go and search a house. All the SJC said that was here, you need to do the same thing.
Right, get a warrant.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Now, here was another interesting argument, counter-argument, that was in the dissent. It was that it's not really that intrusive to get people's location data from their cell phone calls, because even though they're appendages for us all now, we all have them with us all the time, but we're only actually using them for calls about 2% of the time. So how would you respond to that?
I think there are two important points to highlight there. The first is there's two kinds of information. One is the cell site location information you get when you make or receive a phone call. That was what was at issue here. Mm-hmm. And then there's registration data, which is that same location information that can happen automatically anywhere between every 7 to 10 seconds so that your phone is ready for a phone call. Mm-hmm. So certainly with respect to that registration data, that is volumes of information that would be on a day-to-day basis. But even here, it was a two-week period. There were over 65 pages of documents that were produced for the cell site location information. So
wow.
I think that's a pretty detailed picture.
Yes, that does, in fact, create quite a detailed picture. Yes. Now, what does this ruling mean for the case against Augustine?
So what the Supreme Court said was that the case was going to go back to the Superior Court. And if the prosecutors could prove, based on the affidavit they submitted in 2004, that there was probable cause, then the evidence could be used. If they can't prove that there's probable cause, the evidence can't be used.
Got it. Well, thank you so much, Jesse Rossman. Jesse Rossman is a staff attorney for the ACLU of Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks again.
Well, stick with us, because when we come back, we'll be talking to Only a Game's Bill Littlefield about the Winter Olympics. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Carrie Goldberg. This is Radio Boston.